Well, let's seek God in prayer one more time and ask for his blessing upon our study of his word. So let's seek him now in prayer. Lord, we have sung asking for your mercy. You are our good Lord. And we come to you and ask indeed that the Holy Spirit would be given to all of us in this auditorium, that he would open up the eyes of the blind, spiritually speaking, that he would also come not only and do that work, but bring salvation and eternal life to sinners this very evening, and encourage and strengthen the hearts of your believing people, and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. We ask for these mercies, pleading his good name. Amen. Well, please turn in your Bibles, whether a paper Bible or an electronic Bible, to Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 29. I will be reading two different passages this evening, and that will be obvious as to why I'm doing that once I've read both of them. First of all, Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 29. Matthew 20, verse 29. And as they went out from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, that they should hold their peace. But they cried out the more, saying, Lord, have mercy on us, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will you that I should do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus, being moved with compassion, touched their eyes, and straightway they received their sight and followed him. And now please turn to Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Mark 10 verse 46. And they come to Jericho, and as he went out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, the son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the wayside. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, You son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and said, Call him. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good cheer, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered him and said, What will you that I should do unto you? And the blind man said unto him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go your way, your faith has made you whole. And straightway he received his sight and followed him in the way. So those are two passages this evening. Our focus will really be upon Mark's account, but Matthew tells us some details that Mark does not, and Mark tells us details that Matthew does not. But by way of background, first of all, we're told very simply in both Mark's gospel account and Matthew's gospel account that the Lord entered the city of Jericho. We're not told what the Lord did in the city, although we could easily speculate that he probably preached the word of God, brought the gospel to sinners, healed the sick, conversed with many people, and instructed his disciples. The Lord then left the city of Jericho, and with him a very sizable crowd. And the crowd consisted of, we're told, the Lord himself, his disciples, as well as a great mixed multitude composed of men, women, probably children, those seeking the truth of the gospel, those who were not, and probably those who were curious because of this famous rabbi, Jesus. And as the Lord left the city of Jericho, two blind men called out to him. Matthew does not give their names to us. Mark tells us the name of only one of the two. His name was Bartimaeus. So that's the background of this history. But now let us notice, first of all, the man Bartimaeus. First of all, notice his wretched condition. He was blind. Whether Bartimaeus was born blind or became blind, we cannot know for sure. In either case, as a blind man, he could not work. As a blind man, he could not even care for himself. As a blind man, he could not care for others. He was totally dependent upon others for everything. But we're also told that he was a beggar. If Bartimaeus had been a member of a wealthy household, he would no doubt have been cared for. But he was not a member of a wealthy household. He was obligated to beg for money, to beg perhaps at times for food, for clothing, for shelter. Begging for help was his life. But also we're told he was sitting by the wayside. Bartimaeus was not sitting in a home. He was not sitting in a comfortable chair or even on a stool. He was seated on the dusty ground outside of the city gates of Jericho. He was on the side of the road, begging and hoping for mercy from any passerby. His condition indeed was wretched. But notice, secondly, from our history, his earnest supplication. Being blind, Bartimaeus could not see who was walking by him, and he depended, of course, upon his hearing to know when people were passing by so he could then call out for a gift of money. And on this specific occasion, hearing the noise of a larger than ordinary crowd of people passing by, and very possibly, it would seem, hearing lively conversations which were noticeably different from the usual ones on that road, Bartimaeus either heard the name of Jesus of Nazareth spoken by those in the crowd, or because he was so curious, he simply inquired, which seems more likely, who was passing by? A large crowd is passing by, not the usual crowd, much larger. And so he asks, who's passing by? And upon learning that it was Jesus the Nazarene who was walking by, Bartimaeus cried out loudly, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This was not a whisper. This was not the voice one would use while conversing during dinner time in a home. This was a loud crying out. It was a screaming out, not for fear, of course, but earnestly he was crying out to be heard. We do not know how many people were walking by, but clearly it was many. By way of illustration, think of New York City and a throng of tourists who know each other, excitedly talking with each other as they walk on a sidewalk in New York City, and they walk right by a homeless beggar seated on the sidewalk in New York City. And the beggar hears the name of those tourists. He hears the name of a famous New York Yankees baseball player. And he begins to think that maybe that baseball player is even with them. So what he does is he cries out the name of that player, hoping to get his attention. Well, that's the idea of what was happening here on that road outside of Jericho. But it was no famous baseball player passing by Bartimaeus. We do not know how he had previously learned about the Lord Jesus Christ, but the fame of the Lord, we're told in the gospel accounts, had clearly spread far and wide. Bartimaeus's actions make it clear that he had previously heard about this Jesus and that he was a gracious individual, one who showed mercy to needy people, one who had healed many. He probably had heard reports that this Jesus was a preacher and that he gladly preached the gospel, the salvation of sinners, to the common people. And he, Bartimaeus, was a common man. He had heard reports about his power to heal the diseased and the sick. And he concluded, it would seem, from this history, he concluded from these reports in a very simple way that this Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah of the Jewish scriptures of the Old Testament, the Son of David. And therefore, he cried out earnestly and repeatedly for the attention of this Jesus and for mercy. So his wretched condition, his earnest supplication, but thirdly, notice his commendable determination. We're told in Mark 10 and verse 48, Matthew's gospel account as well, that many, not just a few, but many rebuked him, telling him to be quiet, underscoring that Bartimaeus's calling out to the Lord was clearly loud and persistent. And to many in the crowd who were walking by Bartimaeus, his crying out was, it would seem, an irritation, an annoyance, a distraction, distracting this prophet of Galilee, Jesus. Jesus doesn't need to be distracted by you, you beggar. Just be quiet. See, that's what was happening. But Bartimaeus would not be silenced. His needs were enormous. Needs which no ordinary individual could address and resolve. And believing that the Lord Jesus Christ could and would help him, he ignored those who sought to silence and discourage him, and he cried out the more a great deal, we're told in the history. His wretched condition, he was a blind beggar by the wayside. His earnest supplication, his commendable determination. But now let's turn our attention to the other main figure in this history, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us notice, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ's actions. Above all of the din of the numerous conversations among the walking crowd, above all of the calls to Bartimaeus to be quiet, the Lord Jesus Christ heard Bartimaeus' cries for mercy. And we're told that the Lord stood still. We do not know if some of the disciples were talking to the Lord Jesus as they walked. We do not know what was on the Lord's mind as he walked, although we do know that he was determined to go to Jerusalem and he knew he would die in Jerusalem. But when the Lord Jesus Christ heard a sincere, earnest, persevering cry for mercy, he stopped and stood still. The Creator of the universe stopped and stood still at the cry of a blind beggar outside of Jericho. The one who upholds all things in this universe by the word of his power, the Lord Jesus Christ, stopped and stood still at the cry of Bartimaeus. the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, stopped and stood still at the cry of a blind beggar. Everyone else was ignoring this beggar or telling him to shut up, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the Lord's actions. But notice, secondly, the Lord's words. He called Bartimaeus. The Lord told those who were standing near to him to call Bartimaeus to come to him. And what the Lord did on this occasion, he continues to do this very night. The Lord Jesus Christ is, of course, not physically here. He's in heaven, alive forevermore. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word of God, continues to do what he did on that occasion. He is calling and listening, calling to sinners and listening to sinners who cry out to him. And if you, sitting here this very night, if you from your seat as a needy, helpless sinner, call out to Jesus Christ who is alive and say, Lord, I know very little about you at this point in my life, but I've heard that you are alive. I've heard you are Savior of sinners. I've heard that you're almighty. I am helpless. I call unto you. He will hear. Note what Bartimaeus did once he heard the call of the Lord Jesus to come to him. He threw off his outer cloak so as not to hinder his coming to Jesus. He jumped to his feet, we're told. There is no delay or hesitation on the part of Bartimaeus. He came to Jesus, guided no doubt by the hands of those in the crowd because he was still blind. And that's what happened. He came to Jesus. And then the Lord, notice, asked Bartimaeus a question. What will you that I should do unto you? The Lord clearly knew that Bartimaeus was blind. So why did he ask Bartimaeus this question when the answer was so obvious? You see, the Lord did this because he would have Bartimaeus tell him all that was on his mind and heart. The Lord is not simply a miracle-working machine. He purposes to have vital, sincere, living fellowship with creatures of the dust whom he will redeem and save, with people like Bartimaeus. And therefore the Lord asked him, what did he desire? And Bartimaeus, without a moment's hesitation, of course, unburdened his soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Now, I'm not aware that anyone here this evening is physically blind. But there are sinners here this night, young and old, who are spiritually blind. And you need to do what Bartimaeus did. You need to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, not for physical sight, but for spiritual sight. And he will grant you that spiritual sight. But notice now, not only the Lord's actions, the Lord's words, but now thirdly, the Lord's healing. Matthew tells us that the Lord was moved with compassion. That is, the innermost being of his soul, the very gut in his body was such that the Lord was stirred. He was stirred with pity for this man, Bartimaeus, and all of his need. The Lord, Matthew tells us, then touched the eyes of blind Bartimaeus, and he instantly received perfect sight as he then gazed upon the face of Jesus Christ who healed him. And the Lord then spoke to Bartimaeus, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Now, faith is a gift from God. But the Lord gave that gift to Bartimaeus, and he then commends Bartimaeus for exercising that gift of faith. Your faith has made you whole. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ also very likely had a double meaning, for they could be translated, "Go your way, Bartimaeus, your faith has saved you." The Lord, who is abundant in mercy and loving kindness, not only healed Bartimaeus physically, but he also, I believe firmly, blessed Bartimaeus spiritually by giving him spiritual sight as well as physical sight, by giving him the forgiveness of his sins. Indeed, observe from Mark 10, verse 52, Bartimaeus' response to the Lord Jesus Christ's healing and words. Bartimaeus went his way as the Lord commanded him to do. That's what the Lord said. Bartimaeus, go your way. Bartimaeus went his way. Well, what was his way on this occasion? Bartimaeus followed the Lord Jesus in the way in which the Lord himself went. That was his way of choice. So we see here the man Bartimaeus, wretched condition, earnest supplication, commendable determination, the Lord Jesus Christ, his actions, words, and healing. But now let's draw out a few lessons from this history. And the first is this. Let us see the inestimable value of hearing and believing the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. As a Jew, Bartimaeus very likely heard the scriptures of the Old Testament read in a synagogue in Jericho. He would have learned to some degree about a promised Messiah, the son of David. And when Bartimaeus then later on heard these reports about Jesus of Nazareth, he understood, at least in a very simple way, that this Jesus was the son of David, the Messiah. And as a poor beggar, Bartimaeus did not have a room, a library full of Christian books. But when he heard that truth about Jesus of Nazareth, he acted upon that truth when he had the opportunity. He did not wait until he had a comprehensive knowledge about the Savior. No, he acted upon what he already knew, and he called out to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. So some of you here tonight, you may not have a lot of knowledge of the Bible, but you've heard enough already about this living Savior to call unto him for mercy for your own soul. Do as Bartimaeus did. But a second lesson is this. As with Bartimaeus, when we cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy, we come as poor, helpless, needy, sinful beggars. That's what we are. We're not poor physically. None of you are here clothed in rags. All of you have had good food to eat. We're not poor physically, but spiritually, by nature, we are sinners and we are poor and helpless, needy beggars. And therefore, we are not to wait a month, a year, a dozen years to come to Jesus Christ for mercy. A dozen years from now, you will still be a poor, helpless, needy sinner. So therefore, do not wait, because that will not change. Do not hesitate to come to Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus did not. And you see, this is what Julia Happy declared in her baptism. Her baptism and its waters did not wash away her original sin. It did not wash away any sin. It was a picture, a symbolic picture of what has already happened in her heart and life. Julia came to Jesus Christ, and I know this because I've heard her testimony. She came to Jesus Christ as a needy, helpless, poor, beggar sinner. And Christ received her, forgave her all of her trespasses, cleansed her from all of her sins in the blood which Christ shed on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for her sins. This is what we declare when we are baptized, as Julia was. And when the believers here tonight come to the Lord's Supper, this is what you're declaring in taking the bread and the cup at the Lord's Supper. We who are genuine Christians, having been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, are nothing in ourselves. We have nothing to bring to commend ourselves to God. We have still many sins and many needs. And we come to the living Lord Jesus Christ and continue to trust Him 100% for everything that we need in time and eternity. And we declare when we take the bread and the cup at the Lord's Supper that we are trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins. So as with Bartimaeus, when we cry out to the Lord for mercy, we come as poor, helpless, needy beggars. And He receives such to Himself. But a third lesson is this. The Lord Jesus Christ's ear, heart, and attention are arrested when sinners cry out to Him in all of their need, in all of their sinfulness, in all of their helplessness. There were many needy sinners in the crowd passing by Bartimaeus that day outside of Jericho. But it was the beggar's cry for mercy that caught Jesus Christ's ear, His heart, and His attention. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is unchanging. He is unchangeable. He continues to show mercy to sinners in all of their isolation, in all of their helplessness, when they call upon Him for mercy, for grace, for power, for help, for salvation, for fellowship. And so, learn from this history. Bartimaeus's cry was heard by Jesus Christ. And your cry, if you cry out to Jesus Christ this very night, where you're seated, Lord, have mercy upon me. He will hear you and He will answer you. You must turn away from your sins, breaking God's holy law, lying, stealing, covetousness, idolatry, adultery, whatever your sins are, you cry out and say, Lord Jesus, hear me, forgive me for my sins. Have mercy upon me as you had mercy upon Bartimaeus. And He will indeed do just that, as He did with Bartimaeus. You can make, as it were, the Savior in heaven stand still and listen to your cry. That's what He did for Bartimaeus. He can do that for you. He is the one and only gracious, merciful, almighty Savior. Don't look to yourself for power for salvation. Don't look to other human beings. Don't look to saints who have died. Look to Jesus Christ, the living Savior, for forgiveness and deliverance. Well, may God help us all to do that, even tonight. Let us now pray. We thank you, our God, for your mercy which you have shown to many of us in this auditorium. We thank you for this history of Bartimaeus crying out and being heard and delivered from his blindness physically, his blindness spiritually. And we cry out to you, our God, that through your Son, the Lord Jesus, you would even this very night draw sinners to Christ, save sinners in this very room this night, and that you would give your believing people continuing faith in Jesus Christ, trusting in him alone for the forgiveness of all of their remaining sins. Please exalt Christ in our midst and receive our prayers and our thanksgiving for this time in his worthy name. Amen.